All right, we got two questions this week. Three, really, I guess. Do you ever get tired of being the one who always does the right thing? And hopefully you're the one that always does the right thing. All right, hopefully you're not that one. Hopefully you are the one that does the right thing. And then is there anything specific that you you feel like, you know, I always do it, but it's like you have that little piece inside of you that wishes you didn't have to. I'll give you an example. We drive back and forth across the street a lot here. And ever since DOT took away our crossover between the church and the academy, we have to come out of the church, go all the way down to the stoplight, and make a U-turn. Because they put the no U-turn sign up at the railroad crossing, which, you know, that was when they first did it, we'd all make the U-turn at the railroad tracks. And, you know, it was kind of somebody said, yeah, you're not allowed to make a U-turn at the railroad tracks. Well, there's no sign. And, you know, so it was kind of, you know, it doesn't say it. So, you know, we can do it. Well, then they put the sign up, no U-turn. And then it's like, oh, man. You know, and it's just, it's to me, it's that thing of, I know, you know, I'm not supposed to, and so I don't, but it really irks me every time I go down there and have to make a U-turn, because it's like, man, I wish I could just turn right there, or do a U-turn on red. You know, it's like, nobody's coming, I could just go for it, but I don't.
You're one of the few who obeyed it, I guess.
Maybe, but...
You did it with a tractor that night, you're hauling the kids, and left me behind, but I didn't make the left.
It was still yellow when I... It was kind of orangey, and I did leave you. I should have stopped, but it was like, I was on a tractor with a trailer behind me, and I was like, if I stop now, I'm going to throw all the kids off. So I just said, you know what, forget it. I'm going to go and see, a good tail person would have run the red light and followed me and kept me safe. Oh, I would have pled your case with the police officer.
I admit that I used to do the U-turn even with the sign up there until I found out that one of our other church members got a ticket for doing that.
Yeah.
Now I don't.
Yeah.
I'll get rid of the sign tomorrow.
Thank you. The other one, Alfonso, you'll probably field on this one. The other one that really aggravates me is when I'm on my motorcycle and you pull up to a left turn light and it doesn't sense the weight of the bike, and then you just sit there for, like, you know, praying to God, would somebody please come pull behind me? And then it's like, okay, now what do I, you know, and it's like, ugh, it's just so frustrating because you don't want to just run the red light because I feel guilty about it. But anyway.
It's not the weight, it's the fact that those lines in the road, some of them are hidden, stench metallic material. So you just get your bike when you come pull up there, pull it so that you're across two of those lines kind of cattywampus.
Okay.
And then it'll cinch you.
Okay. I'll try that. If I had a reverse on it, I'd back up and go back and forth, but
just
pushing backwards is... Oh.
Just don't follow a semi behind those, because the space between the front wheels of the semi and the trailer senses that there's nothing there, and then it flips the light.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I just pull in underneath them. Yeah. Anybody? Nobody else? Wow, y'all are quite a bunch of... What? They what? Tired of voting, it doesn't make a difference. Yeah, it seems like that, doesn't it? Yeah.
Doing the right thing at work, like not cutting corners.
Okay. All right.
Yes. What else is?
Yeah, it's a common saying about my work is, why be professional when professional doesn't work? You do the right thing, you never get the parts, you never get it in. Or they accuse you of not doing it the right way. And I'm like, no, see, it's the right way.
Right.
It doesn't work.
That would be frustrating. That would be frustrating. All right, so then how do you persevere in doing right without allowing it to just wear you out, and then you give in and decide, you know what, I'm just not going to do it anymore?
Whatever you do all to the honor and glory of God.
All right, whatever you do all to the honor and glory of God. Okay, Susan said it's easy to say.
Yeah.
Not always easy to do. Heather?
Yeah,
Okay. Well, sometimes it still does. Like when you walk around the hallways and you see a piece of paper or a cockroach, or a water bug on the side of the hallway, and you, as you see it, you're going, I know I should pick that up. And you're going, I don't really want to. And then you walk past it, and then it just, the conviction comes, and you go, okay, I'll go back and get it. And you go back and you pick it up. Well, yeah, I go get something for the water bug, but if it's, yeah, pick up the piece of paper and then pick up the water bug. But, you know, but it's still, there's times that you are tempted to just, you know what, somebody else can get that. You know, I don't get paid to do that. You know, somebody else gets paid to clean that. They should do that. Or, you know, you're walking across the street and there's trash in the little corral out there. And you think, you know what, somebody else, you know, we didn't put it there. And it's the DOT's job. The city can come clean that. But on the flip side, you know, something inside of you is going, you know, you just pick up the trash and do it kind of thing. So how do you keep going? And I understand, like with Dick's, you know, if you know somebody, if you know that the potential exists that you get a ticket if you make a U-turn at the railroad tracks, sure, you know, that's a real deterrent. You know, either that or you're going to consciously be looking, you know, in your rearview mirror and up ahead and go, okay, I don't see any cops, so now I'm going to just deliberately do it. You know, and then you're deliberately going against what you know is right. John's just going, yeah, that's what I do. But, you know, some of the other things, you know, there is no penalty if you don't pick up a piece of paper off the floor. Or not that anybody's going to come arrest you for. So how do you, what is your mindset? What keeps you going? What keeps you doing the right thing? Nate?
I was going to say, I try to obey the speed limit. Does that become a problem for me sometimes? And so...
He said it. It's a problem.
Right, it's a problem for me. And I do try to do it. But it's the tickets, I think, that's determining.
Right.
They're not going to help you.
Do too much.
And the painting.
He is a serial speeder. And so...
Well, see, what I've learned is...
The problem's not you, it's the living.
That's right, yeah.
That's what it is.
It's the acceptable limit.
Yeah.
And you abide by the acceptable limit.
Which
I always told my girls... 9 you're fine, 10 you're mine. So, just keep it under. Yeah, 9 you're fine. As long as you're 9 over, you're fine. Once you hit 10, you're getting it. So, yeah, that's. I had a few police officers tell me that. If once you hit the 10 mile an hour mark, I got you. But if you're under that, I will let you go. So.
Three ways to persevere.
Okay.
Soldiering life of his Egyptian master. So it's like we're supposed to have faith or let in everything. Don't do it without love. If you do it without love, you're out of nothing. So, and love is hard, especially when you love your enemies or love your annoying brother or something. You can hate them and love them at the same time. Have to do the earth.
Yeah, but I was that little brother.
And persevering to do it, like in everything to do with temperature, long suffering, I forget the verse. No one wants to do long suffering. Short suffering, maybe. Long suffering, no. So, perseverance requires some stamina. So, a lot of discipline in our morality and our faith. Like being raised up in a way we can go helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But, especially if you're a new believer or you're not so well versed or you don't recall your verses that well, it's hard to keep on track, which is thank God we have forgiveness and grace.
Right.
So with love and long suffering, which means you go through it because the promise is still there, like honoring your father and mother, tithing, you don't get the fruits and rewards right away. It takes a while for some of the promises to come through.
Right.
Like what's up here in your speech? Good things come to those who wait.
Yep.
Well, good things come to those who persevere too.
Okay.
God's eternal, so some of the fruits and promises aren't temporary, immediate, they're far in like eternity, either in our life or in our kids' life, and the blessing is perpetual.
Okay, good. Good thoughts, Jonathan.
Testimony.
The what? Your testimony? Okay.
I was going to say, along with what John was saying, is the love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your mind, all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. So sometimes the things that we do have to be focused on one of those two things. And sometimes it doesn't seem like we're doing it to love the Lord our God, but it might be to love the neighbor, doing something that is unknown to anybody else, but it does help out in the neighborhood or the church neighbor or whatever.
Right. Good. Yep.
Yeah, that, I was just going to say the same thing. What you were saying was like, at work sometimes I'm impatient with people, and so I have to continue to remain patient. And sometimes when you help them, you know, of course they don't always say thank you, right? Or they appreciate what you do.
Right.
Right, as a matter of fact, they just yell at you and then unfit and they just kind of go on about the business. And so I have to kind of remember about loving my neighbor, you know, to continue to, even in doubt, that person is like the serial caller, you know, keep calling you and they still want your help and you have to remain patient and kind and those things. Right. So I try to do that just to, you know, please God at the same time, try to love my neighbor, but that's just difficult.
Yep. Yep. I wish Lauren was in here. I know Bob Jones Sr. had a few little quips that he used to always say, and I learned them when I was in elementary school going in Bible class, and I'm sure I don't remember all of them word for word anymore, but, you know, just little things that stick in your head, like you write till the stars fall, and, you know, character is what you do when no one is looking. You know, and stuff like that, when it gets in your head, you know, that's what keeps me, you know, at a red light when, you know, I get two of, you know, not that I'm at 2 o'clock in the morning very often, but, you know, when you're out late at night, you know, and you're at a red light and there's literally not a soul around you anywhere, and you're going, you know what, nobody would ever know. But then it's, but you know what, I would know. You know, God would know. And so, you know, my character is, or like Mike said, my testimony, you know, you know, is more to me than that. You know, and it is because you want to love the Lord. You want to love Him. You want to do what's right and honor Him in all that we do. So all of those things, you know, it's just that idea of, you know, committing, as Jonathan said, you know, that idea of being committed to, I'm just always going to strive to do what's right. Or as Nate, like you said, I'm going to always strive to love my neighbor, even when I get no thanks, even when I get nothing in return from it except grief. It doesn't matter, because I'm going to do what I know in my heart I have to do as a believer in Christ. And so I'm going to follow through with that. I'm going to do that. And then, it, you know, however other people respond to that, that's on them. And I can't control them. I can only control me. So I have to do what I know I can do or need to do. So persevering in saltiness. John 17, 14 through 16. I guess I should have had you turn there first.
I have a saying.
Yep, James.
Remember, my SEO told me in the Army, he said, what is right is defined by the standard, not what other people are doing.
Okay. Right, yes. Yes. So Nate, for you, the standard, the speed limit is usually 7 to 9 more. So if right is defined by the standard, that's kind of the standard. So anyway, give you something else to make you feel better. All right. John 17:14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So this idea here of, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Do you think Jesus ever got tired of doing right? And I know I just asked about us, and I think all of us, if we are honest, would say that we do get tired of
of doing right, and there are times that we wish, you know, we were on the other side and we just didn't have to be that one. But do you think Jesus ever got tired of doing right and helping people and all of that? Because, again, he had little return on his efforts.
Well, he didn't grab duty and angry.
Okay,
he
yes.
He got tired and not quit, so he got tired but he didn't quit.
Okay, he got tired but he didn't quit. All right. So as we go through the little bit, and again, we don't, you know, we really don't know a whole lot about the ministry of Christ. You know, John says that, it, you know, that the world could be filled with books of all that he did. And we just have a small sampling of that. But let's remember, the majority of Christ's followers turned back and quit following him. You know, when things got hard, they forsook him. They left him. You know, they weren't faithful to him. They weren't committed to him. You know, we see where he expressed frustration in that godly anger. You know, we know that there were times that he had to get away. You know, he had to go up into the mountain apart, or he had to leave the crowds. He had to get away from them. You know, he needed his quiet time alone, or whether he either, you know, alone by himself and the Father, or alone with his disciples, just a small group. You know, we know that he wept at the unbelief of the people. You know, his heart was just saddened by that. The fact that they didn't get it. They didn't believe. He wept over Jerusalem and just the unbelief of the majority of the people that rejected him. Yep.
It's hard for us to really understand I guess you could say the tension. I like Pastor Sean's term, the tension. While we do say that Jesus was always God, therefore we kind of put off that idea that if he's God, then there's no issue. You know, he's just going to do what's right. And yet he was fully man.
Yes.
So he had that tension between his Godship or his Lordship and his manly
his
attitudes,
humanity,
feelings, emotions, that he had to overcome those in order to always do what was right.
Yes, and you know, the author of Hebrews says, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So, he was tempted. He faced everything that we face.
And the places where we see where he had to get away, where he's, you know, I think of he got into the boat with the disciples to go across the Sea of Galilee, and immediately he went to sleep. Mm-hmm. And he was his humanness was very evident, but the storm didn't even wake him up. It was the disciples that did.
Yeah. So. Right. And so, you know, Christ is doing, still continuing to do right. He's still helping people. He's still, you know, even though they don't say thank you, even though they're, you know, they're going to come back and ask for another miracle or ask for something else, he's still out there serving and giving of himself, doing those things. So if Jesus had limited success, why does he want us to stay in the world and not be removed? You know, if he knows all that he went through, all that he suffered, all that he was tempted, all that he endured with the little success from a worldly perspective, why would he say to the Father, you know, I don't want you to take my disciples. I don't want you to take them out of the world. I want you to leave them there.
To spread the word.
All right, to spread the world. To spread the word. All right, to test them, to refine them. All right, allow the Holy Spirit to work.
That mustard seed.
Okay.
I also don't believe that we were ever designed to be heavenly. We were designed to be earthly. Earth has its sin. And if we think about the new heavens and the new earth, our heaven in terms of what we think of it is temporary. In the new worlds and the new heavens and the new earth, I believe we're still going to be human flesh that lives in this world, and because of the sin, as Dennis said, so that we can be a testimony of the word. But if we were were taken out of this world, we'd be taken out of our element.
Okay.
That's my personal
position. All right. All right. What does Matthew tell us? That we are to be salt and light, right, in this world. You know, that we are commanded to be that salt. We are commanded to be the light. Matthew 5. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste or its savor, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." And then Christ goes back and he says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp, put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So we were left here on purpose to be that salt and to be that light, to show Christ to an unsaved or an unregenerate world, and to give, someone said, Troy, the Holy Spirit the opportunity to convict and to utilize our lives and our testimony and our preaching to give them the gospel so they have the opportunity to trust Christ. So we are salt, we are light, and that preservatives, that preservation is necessary to continue the gospel going forward and the light of salvation to be seen. So Jesus desires us to be like him. Another function of the Holy Spirit is to be conforming us to the image of Christ and to be making us like him. And as Christ was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin, the goal, our thought process, our goal should be, you know, I want to be more like that. You know, I want to be able to have the power to not succumb to the temptations. I want the power to get victory over that temptation. And to realize that just because I'm tempted, that in and of itself is not a sin, and that I don't have to act upon the temptation. When the temptation comes, I can say no. I can ask the Holy Spirit. I can stop myself and not pursue that. Because Christ wants us to be, and we talked about this last week, unworldly like him. So yes, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. You know, we are in the world. We are functioning in the world, and we are dwelling here. We are doing all of that. But we realize this isn't our permanent home. You know, that we will at one day in the future live in a new heaven and a new earth. And we will, as Dick said, I think we will still be working and doing things in that new heaven and that new earth, or the new earth. I don't know if we'll work in the new heaven. But whatever that looks like, kind of idea. But Christ has left us here so that we can grow, so that we can learn more, so that we can do more, so that we can be to this darkness the light that he wants us to be. So what is the... Were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say, in the same way that Christ was frustrated because he was dealing with unbelievers too.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so that is frustrating. But he loved them so much that he continued, even though he got frustrated. And I'm sure at times it was just like, I can't believe they don't understand or they're not getting what I'm saying. But we too are going through the same.
Right.
We're going through the same thing. And blessed, you know, you're frustrated, you should never stop. You have to, because the world does need the gospel.
Right.
And how else are we going to get it if we don't engage them?
Right. Yeah, and we know that Christ was, because there were several times with a scribe or a Pharisee, he'd say, you know, aren't you a scribe? Don't you know the law? You know what the scripture says, and yet, you know, why is there a disconnect? You know, you're not hearing what I'm saying to you. So what is the purpose in staying in the world to be salt and light? I think we kind of beat around the bush, but ultimately, what is the purpose of that? So that tells us in Matthew. In that one. Do what? Yes, to bring glory to the Father. So that they can see our good works. And do what? Give glory to the Father who is in heaven. Okay, so again, it comes back to why are we persevering and doing right? Why are we continually not getting tired in well-doing? Because we want our testimony. We want people to see Christ in us. We want people to realize, you know what? They're different. You know what? They do things the way it's supposed to be done. Whatever that looks like in your occupation or in what you do and where you live, you know, how your neighbors perceive you and your coworkers and all of that. But you know what? Their thought process should be, you know what? Damien always does what's right. And, you know, I don't like him because he's always doing that. You know, and I'm cutting the corners and he's not. And, you know, I get done faster, but I have less callbacks, or he has less callbacks, or whatever. And that, you know, and that should be a testimony and an emphasis of testimony, so that we are able then to give glory to God, and so that we can share with others the gospel and point them to the Father. So in our own strength, we struggle with being faithful in doing that. You know, we do get tired at times, but God doesn't leave us to ourselves. He gives us what we need to be successful. Turn to Ephesians 6, and we'll close with this. Right after Galatians. Right before Philippians. Ephesians 6, 12 through 17. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." Did I go too far? Well, anyway, I want it to. All right, so notice how Paul ends verse 18. He says, "To that end, keep alert with all perseverance." With all perseverance, keep alert. What are we told in John 17? "I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one." How are we kept from the evil one? By being alert. By staying alert. By persevering in continuing to be alert. I don't know I don't know how many of you have a newer vehicle. My wife's vehicle. I don't know how it senses that you're getting tired or what the deal is. But you know, it'll pop up and give you this driver alert and say, "Time for a break." But you know what? In our spiritual battle, we don't have time to take a break. Yes, we need to be alert, but we have to be alert at all times. And unfortunately, we can't take a break. We can't just quit for a while and go, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, take a sabbatical from doing right and from being a believer for a while. No, we can't do that. We have to remain on alert and continue doing what is right at all times. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for participation this morning and for folks thinking and speaking and helping with the discussion this morning. I pray that you would help us as we strive to love you more and continue in doing what's right. Give us the desire to do that. Give us the strength to do that, and help us to be faithful in doing so, and we'll thank you in your name. Amen.